everybody, it's Motivation Monday. This is Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling. You're hearing a profile of the Sell or Die Dynasty, the soon-to-be 5 days a week program. And this is the day where you get to wake up and go either, oh crap, it's Monday, or oh my goodness, it is Monday. And I'm here to challenge you that it should be, oh my goodness, it's Monday, every day. Every day of the week should be called Monday. Because that's the day where you have to get your ass in gear or you're in trouble. Like by Wednesday, yeah, they call it, if you don't like what you're doing, if you hate your job, they call Wednesday hump day. It's the dumbest expression I've ever heard, because what it means is you're all pissed off by Wednesday, and if you just make it two more days, you can get to the weekend. Now, this past weekend, I autographed 1,000 books while you were out getting drunk. Thank you very kindly. The book is Truthful Living. It's the first writings of Napoleon Hill. It's being published by Amazon.com, and I promise you, this book is life-changing. It's so good. It's written 20 years before Think and Grow Rich was written, and it is off the chart amazing. Now, by the way, I want to start out by just, I'll tell you what today's topic is. It's going to be about what do you do in the morning to kick your own ass. I want to read a 5-star review. The guy from DC Gov Guy says, DC Gov Guy, and I wonder who the hell that could be. Why are people in Washington, DC in government? I don't know. Anyway, 5 stars isn't enough to measure how valuable the information is in this podcast. Oh my gosh. Now, if you like this podcast, could you please rate it 5 stars on whatever some people get on Overcast. Some people get it on iTunes. Most people get it on iTunes. Some people get it on Stitcher, depending on your browser and all the other things that are compatible to it, or your iPhone, or if you have an Android. We're grateful for all your listenership. We're grateful for all of your loyalty, but we would love it if you would give us a 5-star review. Okay. Now, do we have anything online? Do we have anything we need to deal with online?
Yeah, we've got a Reddit question here.
Douglas, how are you? This is Doug Branson, the great Doug Branson, our producer.
I'm good. We put up you can't see it right now, Jeffrey, but we have a camera of the studio now. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah. The crew can all wave to the audience now.
Oh, cool.
Oh
my gosh. So what did you do? Put one behind?
Yeah, it's right over there.
So it's like a Howard Stern kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a little behind
without
the
F-bombs?
Stuff. Right. Well, just a few F-bombs.
Got it.
All right, so this Reddit question comes to us from Mingyu Lee. And Mingyu Lee says, I work for a television broadcast company. As the only salesperson, I was assigned with the project of selling ad space on our TV channels and local businesses. So far, I've gone door to door and started off to see if there's at least mutual interest from both parties.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, there was, but I'm wondering what the next steps should be and any effective ways to sell ad space.
There is only one way. Well, there's two ways. One doesn't work. You can use your media kit and all the other crapola to talk to people about how much it is. What you need to do is take 3 companies that would be your best targets and write for them a 30-second ad, 90 words. Go into the studio and film it. Tell 3 people they're going to get a free 30-second ad. Go film it, go produce it, and then give it to the people and say, if you like it, here's the contract. If you don't like it, there's no charge for the ad. You can dump it. You can throw me in the river. But if you don't produce an ad for someone so they can see their own name up in lights, you have no prayer, because people can't see it. They want to feel it. They want to understand what it is. So you have to use your creativity. You can't have stupid ads. They have to be cool as heck. But, well, actually, they have to be cool as hell. But I've just given you the only way to do it. If your boss says no, quit your job. And there you have it, because you're not going to be successful at it. This morning, our topic is going to be how to get ready to catch fire on any day of the week, Monday, Sunday. Well, Sunday, Chick-fil-A is closed. You have a real problem there. But any day of the week, any morning of the week, you need to be able to wake up and feel great about what's going to happen, feel amazing about what's going to happen, and start by focusing on yourself. For 25 years, this is what I've done. I wake up in the morning and I read, and or I write, and or I prepare. Now, I've only been doing that for 25 years, so I don't know if it's working yet. I'm going to do it another 25 years, and then that's it. I'm going to quit. Now, what happens when you read, write, and prepare? You go to the next level of thinking and creating because it forces your juices to roll. Do you need a cup of coffee to do that? Yeah, sometimes I have a cup of coffee, sometimes I don't. But after I'm ready, sometimes I wake up and I'm so full of ideas, I sit down in my PJs and start going through the ritual. Other days, I will shower and get dressed and sit down to do the ritual, but I always do the ritual. Now, the question is, I've just given you the five things: read, write, prepare, think, create. I'd like to break it down for the first time ever so you get a feeling for what it's like to be motivated on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, and there's no hump day.
Whoa. So this is a Motivation Monday Jeffrey Gittimer exclusive.
That is correct. Never been told before. I'm going to reveal secrets about what I actually do sitting in my chair. It's called a fan chair, which is interesting because I'm my own biggest fan. But this is the challenge. Make a selection of what to read, and you only need to read a couple of pages. So you might want to read something on attitude, or you might want to read something on sales techniques. Just pick five pages from the Little Red Book of Selling or the Little Gold Book of Yes Attitude. Or take an old book like I do. I'll read Napoleon Hill, How to Sell Your Way Through Life, and I'll pick out a few pages and read them. Or I'll pick an attitude book from R.S. and Swett Marden and read it. And you can get all these books now. People are reprinting crappy copies in paperback, so you can buy them for 10 or 15 bucks. So go on eBay and look for attitude books, or go on eBay and look for old sales books and buy a couple of them and read them. Anything by Elmer Letterman, L-E-T-E-R-M-A-N. Anything by any of the masters, the Dale Carnegies of the world, the Robert Colliers, the R.S. and Swett Martins, of course, the Napoleon Hills. Read a couple of pages a day. Not every once in a while, but a day. And what will happen is you're going to find that you start your day with a positive framework. So you eliminate the television part of the deal, which is who got beat up in a parking lot, or who got bombed, or what burnt down, or who's arguing with who, or which guy's a liar and which guy's not a liar. Let me give you a clue. They're all liars. But the bottom line is, I don't pay attention to that crap. I pay attention to me, most important person in the world. And I want you to pay attention to you, most important person in the world. And just carve out your space. I have my own space in my office, which is in my home also. But I'm fortunate to be able to have that. But you need your own space. So go to your space. Get out your computer. You can even read stuff online if you want to, because a lot of the stuff is already online. So if you don't have the book, you don't have to buy the book. You can just search for something on Google or something on YouTube, maybe even watch the video. So I'm reading. The next thing I'm going to do is write. I might write down a couple of ideas or thoughts that I have while I'm reading, because sometimes reading inspires you to write. But I want to make certain. Right now I'm writing a new book on sales. I don't want to announce it yet, but it's amazing. But I was writing for this while I was writing Napoleon Hill's Truthful Living book. I had to write an introduction to each chapter, and I had to write how to implement this into each chapter, and I had to put some annotations in each one so you could reinterpret them for 21st century. This book, by the way, is amazing. Just the full page quotes in this book are absolutely off the chart. You can start out by reading all the full page quotes. Here's one. If you want favors, bestow favors. This is in accordance with the law of harmonious attraction, through the operation of which we get exactly what we give. We get exactly what we give. Love that kind of stuff. Here's the deal. This is a classic quote. Big pay and little responsibility are circumstances seldom found together. Woo! So your job is to, just realize that you have an opportunity and a responsibility to read and then be inspired to write. Maybe write a couple of tweets. Maybe write something that your customers need. Maybe write something of value. Maybe write something humorous. Maybe write something that someone would consider cool enough to retweet or repost. Put it on your Facebook. Put it on your Twitter. You can even take your writings and video them. You can write them down, and then you have them on your laptop or you have them on your computer screen somewhere. Read it into a video and post it up on your Facebook or post it up on your Twitter. We're live today on Twitter. Is it our first time ever on Twitter Live? Because we did Instagram last week, second time on Twitter Live. And so now we're doing live Twitter, live Instagram, live Facebook, and we do them alternatively. And you're not. You wake up in the morning and you're all pissed off about the fact that it's raining or that it's too hot out today. It's going to be 95 today. Who gives a shit what the temperature is outside? 72 and sunny in your head every day, no matter what the weather is. Otherwise, you're not really jacking yourself up to have a great day. You're already pissed off about something before you even start. So read something that's positive and then write or record something that's positive. Got it? And then prepare. You prepare for your day, or you prepare for your client, or you prepare ideas, or you prepare questions that you're going to ask. Whatever you're going to do that day, you have to prepare for the day. Now, I've been preparing for a long time because I go out and do seminars, maybe 50 or 100 of them a year, in various places around the country, around the world, and I have to prepare. Sometimes I'll prepare into the night. I'll prepare till 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning, and then wake up at 6 and have to prepare for my talk at 8. So I understand preparation as well as anybody on the planet. But I'm challenging you that if you are not fully prepared for everything that's going to happen to you today, in the morning, when you wake up, you're going to have a bad day, or at least a bad episode during the day, because you're unprepared. And interestingly, unprepared goes all the way over to a speech that you're going to give. Well, I'm afraid to give speeches, Jeffrey. I'm uncomfortable. No. You're unprepared. And most of the people are more worried about what they wear than what they say. I don't worry about what I wear ever. I'm going to start doing seminars in shorts and a t-shirt just because I don't want people to pay attention to what I'm wearing. I want people to pay attention to what I'm saying, what I'm thinking, and what they're hearing, and how they can write that down and turn it into action and turn it into money. And so should you. Everything that you do in the first hour of your day determines the outcome for the rest of the day. So it's reading, writing, and preparing. Now, I'm going to go deeper. There's a line drawn there in this fraction. Underneath read, write, prepare are two words: think, create. What are you thinking? And how is that thinking affecting you and affecting what you read, affecting how you react to what you get, what you read, what you need to do? Think about what it is that's happening to you, and how are you creating new ideas and new questions for your customers? The creativity part can be taught. Creativity is a science. It's not, well, that guy's real creative. No. Creativity is a science, an exact science, and people have written books on it. Go get Michael Mihalko, Thinker Toys, or Cracking Creativity, second book. Or go out and buy Edward De Bono's Serious Creativity. Those two books are my foundational books on creativity. And they will lead you to other books, but the bottom line is they teach you how to think a little bit differently and how to think a little bit better than anybody else. Creativity is the foundation, the fundamental, the key piece in your skill set that's missing. And you think, well, creativity, the guy's real creative. Don't blame it on other people. Go get a book on it and start to read about it. If you start with Thinker Toys, Thinkertoys, by Michael Mihalko, it's in my recommended reading list on my website, gittimer.com. I promise you, creativity will become clear. It's like your mom is holding you in the palm of your hands and teaching you about creativity. It's so fundamental. It's so easy. I read this book in 1990-something, and it's absolutely unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable in terms of T-H-I-N-K-E-R-T. Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's it right there. This is unbelievable. It's a second edition. Go for it. He's updated it and added to it. Look at it. It's $15.99, you cheap bastards. Just hit the buy now button and go for it. You can get the Kindle version. Whoa. The Kindle version is only $1.99? That must be with the Kindle exclusive or something like that. I don't know. But it's full of immediately applicable ideas and thoughts. I used one of the thoughts in there, which is not Michael Mahalko's original thing, a technique and a strategy called scamper. And when you get scamper, you get, okay, this is how I visualize things. This is how I see things in a different way and rearrange things in a different way so that I can use my creative juices.
That's not how to run away from the cops to get away from a ticket.
No, it is not. It is not a new dance either, because right now the new dance is flossing. And I got two little girls, my daughter, 9, Gabrielle, and all of her little buddies, and they floss all day long.
Now, can you explain to the audience, for those who don't know what flossing is, can you explain it?
Yes. Go to Google, go to YouTube, hit the word flossing.
No.
And watch the videos.
Can you give us an example?
Yeah, you're like moving your arms like dental floss through your teeth. It's pretty cool. Flossing, yeah, can I? Yes, I can. You go like this.
There you go.
And you prevent cavities. Scott Menneker, my dentist, will love you for that. Although I think he's going to start to give out candy because he wants more cavities than people. This is your challenge, you guys. I'm giving you the formula for waking up and motivating yourself on Motivation Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And you need to take action. Now, if you do it for a day or so, and then you go back to your old habit, it's not going to help you. You have to make the determination that you're willing to do this every single day of the week, or it's not going to make a difference in your life. I'm telling you, this is what I do every single day. And I've been doing it. I don't want to exaggerate. I don't think I've been doing it for 25 years, but I've certainly been doing it for a solid 20 years. And your job is to do exactly the same damn thing. Now, I'm in the middle of writing a book right now, so I'm writing the hell out of things. I don't just do it early in the morning. I've been writing all day long today. And your job is to figure out what are you best at and allocate the time to be able to do that. Allocate an hour in the morning. Don't tell me about how you're busy and you got kids and you got meetings and crap like that. Just get up an hour earlier. Get up, and if you want to exercise, that's cool. If you want to run or take a walk, that's cool. But my challenge to you is start by doing something for yourself that inspires you, not just motivates you, inspires you to be a better person and do better things. Uh-oh. You've got mail.
This is email. Yeah, cool. We do have mail. This is an email question into us. You can send us your questions via email to sellordie@gittimer.com, and we will read them and answer them on the air. This question starts out, "This may come to you as a surprise, Jeffrey, but working with family members is a challenge." You know all about that. You work with family members.
I'm the king of nepotism. Nepotism and why we need more of it. That's a book I'm writing.
This person writes, "I work in a family-owned floor covering and installation company. I am not a family member." So this person is not a family member.
That puts you at a disadvantage immediately. Because you can't go to your daddy and ask for more money.
So this person goes on, "From my perspective, one of the biggest issues is our project manager. He doesn't always follow through. A lot of things fall through the cracks, and this results in upset phone calls that the sales staff has to answer. He's measuring all the jobs and doing all the quotes, so he's busy. Do I suggest a business coach? How do you tell someone their own family member is a big issue without offending them?"
You don't. You have to be offensive. The key in dealing with family businesses, and I literally have dealt with hundreds of them, the key is to be honest with someone without taking away their dignity. So you have to say something like, we have a situation here where the project team or the production team or the scheduling team or the service team needs help. And you, the complainer, needs to be the volunteer to help so you can get a full wraparound of exactly what's going on and exactly how to be able to help specifically. And you volunteer, "Could I please spend a couple of days working with this person to see how I can help the most?" Because our customers are complaining, and ultimately, it's going to cost us business. Nepotism or not, everybody has to be doing their best on an everyday basis, or you got a real problem. And if you can do your best to help the boss or to help the person become a better employee to serve customers better, you're going to win. don't worry about stepping on eggshells to, well, you know, the boss may not like me. The worst that can happen is you get fired. The best that can happen is that your customers get better service and get better response. And if you show the bitches that your customers are giving to your boss, they might take them a little bit more seriously. And it's not to degrade the person. So I want to make sure that you have the right demeanor when you go into these things. Not a whiner, not a, you know, no, we're losing customers. No, you say, boss, I have a great idea about how we can have better reputation, deal with our customers better, but it would involve me volunteering my time for a couple of days and working with Bobby. You know Bobby, the relative that can't do shit without somebody helping him. Yeah, so I want to help that. You don't want to say it that way, but I want to help Bobby be a better customer service person, but I want to be involved in it myself. I don't want to just say, hey, you need to be better. I want to volunteer to be able to do it myself.
Yeah, offering a solution as opposed to just coming there with a problem.
Exactly.
Those situations are always difficult, and you have to be somewhat strategic about it and figure out ways to softly land that airplane.
You have to do it in a way that's non-offensive to the person who is receiving the advice or the complaint. And certainly in a family situation, especially one where it's a father-son or father-daughter or mother-son or mother-daughter, it's really difficult and really hairy to be able to get in there and do the right thing. So your customers are counting on you. What's the guy's name?
This was anonymous.
Oh.
For reasons that are pretty obvious.
Yeah. Okay, so can I call him by his nickname? Anon?
Anon, yeah.
Yeah. So, Anon, this is what to do. Tread lightly, but follow my advice from today. Wake up in the morning and read a little bit about family business. Then spend a little time thinking about what you've read, and then write a script of what you're going to say to the boss. Do not go in unprepared. Go in completely prepared for this thing, including what you're willing to do and specific responses that will make you better. Go for it.
All right, Wes Wyatt is on the chat right now saying we need an exclusive soundbite because we did that Jeffrey Gittimer exclusive earlier. How about this, Wes? That's the exclusive soundbite.
Oh, cool. I got it. Okay, cool.
Ian Matthews says, hello. Wes also says, hey, Jeffrey, be careful. You're grooving pretty hard there when you were doing the flossing example.
I know. Well, let me tell you something. I've tried flossing a few times with my daughter, and it doesn't quite work the same when you're the father. And I don't have bad rhythm. It's not like I'm two left feet. But flossing is not a natural thing. The floss dance or whatever the floss thing is.
It's a thinking dance.
Yeah.
It requires a little left brain, right brain.
Definitely. You have to zig and zag at the same time, literally.
Tom's in the chat as well. Says, hi, Jeffrey.
Tommy Tom, what is? There's a lot of people on today.
Yeah, so make sure you're sending your questions into us via email, sellerdie@gittimer.com, or live here on Facebook. Just leave your question or your comment in the chat. And as always, we love those five-star reviews on iTunes. Every five-star review will be read here on the show.
And you will get a free advice on Monday.
That's right.
that everyone gets that. Let me throw something at you, which I haven't really talked about a little bit. There's a point five.
Wait, you haven't talked about this much. Is this a Jeffrey Gittimer exclusive?
It is indeed.
All right.
When you're done, the five pieces of reading, writing, preparing, thinking and creating, you might want to add a couple of affirmations to tell yourself what you're going to do today. Today I will, and then whatever it is, make five sales calls, complete the last sale with the McGillicuddy group, talk to my boss about what's happening in my world. Whatever it is that you're going to do, affirm it. And when you affirm it both verbally and in writing. And that will help you become a better person. If you affirm every day, it's going to be amazing what your affirmation list is going to look like. I actually just created in the sales book that I'm writing, three pages of affirmations that I say on pretty much on a regular basis about what I will do and who I will become. And I think that they will help you understand what this is really all about. It's about becoming a better person for yourself first, a better person for your family second, and a better person for your customers third. Company fourth. A better person for yourself first, a better person for your family second, a better person for your customers third, and a better person for everybody else in the world, your company, people, your friends, whatever. But you can't be a better person for other people until you have first become a better person for yourself. And that takes affirmation. That takes, it's not just setting a goal. It's creating a mindset for yourself that you're going to be better and do better on a daily basis, not every once in a while. So today's been a really solid one for me, just in terms of affirming what I do on a daily basis. I'm trying to, you know, if you want to know, well, Jeffrey, it's easy for you. You wrote 14 books. No. I started by affirming myself. I started by reading, writing, and preparing. I started by thinking and creating, and you can do exactly the same thing. And remember, I didn't start any of this, until I was 46 years old. I started writing at age 46. I started speaking at age 48. So if you're a millennial or you're anybody under the age of 46, start today. You're already ahead of me. Start now. Start tomorrow morning. And if you're somewhere in the other part of the world, like if you're in Europe or something and it's already nighttime, then start first thing in the morning. You have a head start on it. And by the way, I'll be seeing you in Paris in just a few days. I'm leaving on the 28th and I'll arrive on the 29th on Saturday, and I'll be flying.
It's true. You and Jennifer both are going to Paris, but that doesn't mean that the Sell or Die podcast stops.
That is correct.
We're going international.
Exactly right. We will be having coffee, croissant, and Sell or Die.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. You guys will be remote in Paris, but we'll still be doing episodes. We're going to do a Motivation Monday live from Paris.
Yeah. I'll tell you where I'm going to do one from.
Okay.
A place called La Drogerie. It is the best crepe in Paris. I'm friends with the owners of the place. They have a little indoor counter, and we'll be able to set up right in there and do it, assuming they have Wi-Fi.
I love it.
We may have to steal Wi-Fi from someplace, but I'll ask them if they have it. We'll have a crepe, a morning crepe. And we'll have breakfast in Paris with everybody.
Well, you'll be full of crepe.
Yeah. Yeah, let me do the jokes.
All right.
But there's a fruit stand guy, there's a breakfast place, there's a wonderful, wonderful places where we can do it live from.
And yeah, well, we definitely should talk about inspiration, because Paris is a place for you that has served as a lot of inspiration.
You know, what I'd really like to do is do one from the Eiffel Tower. I don't know where we're going to be able to get Wi-Fi from, maybe from our phones or something, but
the top, isn't it a giant antenna? I mean, it looks like one.
Exactly.
Just do it from the top.
But you should see all the guys that are hawking their wares to sell five little statues of the Eiffel Tower for €1. It's hysterical.
Why would anyone need five?
Well, for their friends. You know, one for themselves, and one for their kids, and one for their friends.
That's great.
Yeah. So anyway, this is... I'm out of here right now. I got a lot of stuff that I got to do. But let me tell you one story. I seem to have learned all of these things by osmosis from my dad. When my father was doing his prep work for customers, he used a yellow legal pad because there was no computers in those days. And he would show me all of these things that he had written to prepare, like pages of stuff, either numbers or ideas. And he phrased it as, I've done my homework. Do your homework. I rephrased it as the Boy Scout motto, be prepared. So between doing your homework and being prepared, my dad became exceptionally successful at what he did, both in making sales and mergers and acquisitions or making deals with people. My dad sponsored a guy on the tour, on the professional golf tour, founded a couple of synagogues and also founded a country club and all of his businesses. And he did it by preparing. So I'm telling you that we have a long history of preparation success. My dad also counseled my grandfather. When we would go visit my grandparents, there was always a one-hour door-closed session between my father and my grandfather, and I, where they just passed wisdom to each other. And then my dad, in later years, passed it to me. So you have to prepare by seeking the advice of others as well. You can't just do it in a vacuum. If you have a chance to have lunch with somebody who's smarter than you are, take it. Who's wealthier than you are, take it. who's more successful than you are, take it. And take their advice to the bank and thank them for it. But don't call somebody else to pick their brain. Do it on a relationship basis. Do it where you're giving information and getting information, not just sucking somebody's brain dry. Can I pick your brain? No, you can't pick my brain. I have a brain picking fee of $1,000 an hour, and I'll buy you lunch. So, yeah, that's where we stand on that. Anyone interested in my brain picking fee, send me an email. sellordie@getimer.com. 3 or 4 people a year buy me, you know, take my brain picking fee, and I buy them lunch. Anyway, so it's now time for me to go. Please email your questions to sellordie@getimer.com. Please visit the Getimer Learning Academy, which is the ultimate learning device. You can get it online. You can subscribe. You can get a demo. You can get any kind of help that you need by calling the office or emailing. And buy an advanced copy of Truthful Living. It's available right now. It's up online. You can buy your advanced copy. I promise you, this is life-changing thought process. And you will love every page of it. Already, a couple of friends of mine have already read the advanced copy piece, and they literally are thanking me for letting them read the book. It's unbelievable. So,
and don't forget to subscribe to the Sell or Die podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever you get podcasts. Just search Sell or Die. This week, we've got Michael Padone of SalesBuzz.com. Oh, cool. We dug about as deep as you could dig on cold calling. So if you have any questions about cold calling, you better subscribe and listen tomorrow for that episode.
And I want to thank all the diehards for chopping in today. There'll be more stuff tomorrow. Say goodbye to Twitter Live and say hello to Facebook Live. And we will see you soon. Get out there and sell something today, even if your ass falls off. Bye-bye.